And we'll read one verse together in unison, reading from the King James Bible, Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 20. And if you find that, if you have that, let's read together, shall we, in unison. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I'm going to talk to you this morning, preach on the sermon, No Excuse, No Excuse. Dear Heavenly Father, so many of us have been caught up in this epidemic that we have in our country that we always want to blame somebody else for our own sins, our faults, our errors, our misjudgments. And it's a constantly, it's a continual thing in our lives, most lives, that we want to blame somebody else. We want to shift the blame off of us and put it on someone else. It makes us feel a little better, I guess. But Lord, help us to believe thy word this morning that there is no excuse, absolutely none, for disobeying the very word of God. Bless, I pray, the junior church upstairs, the nursery. I pray that you bless this sermon. Thank you for the folks that are here. They're not here by mistake. They're not here by accident. They're here on purpose, a divine appointment. I pray that you bless me. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God, that's the King James Bible in the English language, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. Those are animal worshipers and tree huggers, people who love their pets instead of their children and people. Serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, like AIDS, gonorrhea, syphilis, and all other kind of venereal diseases. And even, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Chapter 2, verse number 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. Go down all the way down to verse number 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. As I said in my opening prayer, we have an epidemic of blaming others for our own failures. We don't want to own up to our own mistakes, our own sin, our own choices in life, so it's easier for us in our conscience to blame others. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 14. Luke 14. It's easier for individuals to pass the buck and blame someone else instead of looking in the mirror and say, you know, I messed up, I sinned, I chose this path, and I shouldn't have done it. So instead of coming clean with God and confessing your sin and having God forgive you, we just continue to play this blame game. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody else did this to me. Luke chapter number 14, you know the story where Jesus calls them to the dinner. Luke chapter number 14. Starting in verse number, verse number 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. That's God, that's the Lord Jesus, who's the last of the supper, marriage supper of the Lamb, amen. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, and it is supper time, ladies and gentlemen, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Come to Jesus now, because it's set, it's ready. Verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, that ground probably ain't going to change much, amen. Ground doesn't change. Land doesn't change. Especially back then when they didn't have bulldozers and stuff like that. Land is pretty much land, amen. It'll be there after the supper is over. But he made an excuse. And, you know, I bought a piece of ground. I want to go see it. Please excuse me. That's an excuse. Verse number 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's 10 ox. And I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Well, I would hope if you bought a car, you'd drive it before you bought it. You know, if you have a piece of ground, you'd see it before you bought it, usually. If you buy animals, actually, you'd want to see them before you buy them. It's just an excuse. It's someone saying, I want to get out of this dinner. I want to get out of supper time. I don't want to be there. Please have me excused. Verse number 20, another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He's probably the most honest of the three, amen. This guy's probably henpecked and couldn't come. His wife wouldn't let him come, amen. I don't know. But he says, I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, that's the Lord Jesus, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Amen. Hey, there's still room in heaven for people to get saved, amen? Amen. It doesn't matter if the hobnobs or rich folks and the elite reject the Lord Jesus. There's enough people who still want to be saved, ladies and gentlemen, as you found out this week, amen? Look at verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Hey, what kind of excuse are you making to God? Amen. To disobey the very clear commands that God says in the Bible. And look, I am not diminishing or making fun or belittling any things that have happened in your life that were untoward. I'm not making fun, being critical. I'm just saying stop using that as a crutch, as an excuse for you not to live for God and to obey God. And too many people are following that kind of mindset. We have this blame game where Eve blamed the serpent and Adam blamed the woman. You know, Flip Wilson blamed the devil for everything, you know, for those of you who are 50 or 60 or 70 years old. If you don't know who Flip Wilson is. I'm just saying, everybody wants to blame somebody else and pass the buck. When really it's our decisions that have caused us to be where we're at right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's our decisions. So how about all those people who never heard about Jesus? Well, God says they're without excuse. Psalm 19, the Bible is very clear that the grace of God has appeared to all men. Amen. That's what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, in Titus chapter number 2, I have it written down here somewhere, I think it's verse number 11, said the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's what the Bible says. So somebody asks, it's a stupid question, says, well, how about people who never heard about Jesus? Do you realize that every single person that asks you that question has rejected Jesus Christ that they heard about? Amen. You think about that. These are the rejectors of the gospel, the rejectors of God, the rejectors of the Bible. Those are the same people who put a question to you like, well, how about those people in a faraway third world country that never heard about Jesus? Are you telling me that they're going to be burning in hell also? Well, God's very clear in the Bible over and over again that if somebody is looking for God, God will reveal himself to him. Amen. And if somebody in a third world country asks God to reveal himself and say, God, who are you? I want to know who you are. Don't worry, God will work on the heart of a missionary somewhere. Three quarters of the way around the world, halfway around the world, and move on their heart, and they'll leave America and go to some third world country to preach the gospel in answer to the prayer of somebody who's looking for God. Amen. By the way, God will send somebody your way if you're looking for God too. Amen. Now, most of us, we weren't even looking for God because God was looking for us, amen? But these people will come up with these stupid questions and say, well, how about this and how about that? Most of those people are the same ones that rejected God Almighty. And they're without excuse, trying to put doubts in your mind about, well, how about this and how about that? Yeah, okay. This church is an answer to prayer for people this past week. This church is an answer to prayer for people this past month. This church is an answer to prayer, a prayer for people in the last year, in the last 32 years. Because God already knew before we ever showed up, that you were going to need this kind of preaching, that you were going to need the old-time religion, that you were going to need a King James Bible, that you're going to need salvation. So God, in answer to your prayer that you were going to make 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago, brought this church into fruition, into existence. Amen. Just like God's going to answer a prayer, Lord willing, if God tarries, for somebody else to get saved this week or next week or next month or next year. Because God answers prayer. God knew you would need this kind of preaching. Most people, they'll reject it. Most people hate it. But those who want it and those who reject it, all of them are without excuse. Those who prayed for God, got exactly what you prayed for. Now, you may not have liked everything you've heard, but you're getting exactly, God said he'll send you preachers and pastors according to your heart, to his heart. So I know people don't like this kind of preaching, but there's no excuse for you. There will be no excuse when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Absolutely none. There will be no excuse. You'll be inexcusable. These sodomites will not have an excuse, ladies and gentlemen. You just read Romans chapter number 1. Oh, we were born that way. No, you're going to burn that way. Yeah, you weren't born that way. Just look down. You weren't born that way. Just get a DNA test. You're either male or female when you're born. You can change body parts all you want. You can add, subtract all you want. But you're going to have the same DNA that you were born with. And there will be no excuse for anybody when they stand before God. None. You're going to blame somebody. Oh, my dad abused me. My mom abused me. The church let me down. That's a hogwash. That's a bunch of hogwash, ladies and gentlemen. They're just passing the buck. They don't want to face reality. They're going to be inexcusable. You are going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ who you rejected. Your pride, your ego, your education, your money, your power, your status, your religion, your church, your denomination will be no excuse. We were going out visiting soul winning yesterday, knocking on doors and gave a gospel tract. And the lady said, well, I go to my church.
You know what? Your church ain't going to be an excuse when you stand before God. You can use it now as an excuse, but it ain't going to fly with God, ladies and gentlemen. Your denomination is not going to fly with God. And any excuse you come up with to avoid salvation and avoid getting right with God is going to be no excuse before God Almighty. None. There's an epidemic of people blaming other people for their own sins. You choose the wrong crowd, or you chose to become the wrong crowd. You blame others for your mistakes and others for your errors and others for your faults. You blame others for your false perception of whatever you thought the consequences of your sins were going to be. You didn't realize that there were consequences to your sin. You didn't realize there was a consequence to your rebellion. You didn't realize the consequences of disobedience. But yet people are still blaming others for so-called quote unquote, ruining their lives, their marriages, their families, their finances, their health. They're still blaming people from 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 20 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, there ought to be a time that you grow up and take responsibility for your own actions or inactions. I mean, there's people walking around, you know what I'm talking about. You work with them, you live with them, your neighbor is with them, you come to church with them. They still blame a boss from 5, 10, 20 years ago. They still blame their husband or ex-wife, parents or neighbors or coworkers for something that happened to them 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. 200 years ago, their ancestors suffered something. And they're still blaming other people. Okay, go ahead. Blame the pastor. Blame a pastor who spends his whole life trying to help people. And let me just say this. I've been here 32 years. There's bound to be some mistakes I'm going to make. I let you come here. I didn't kick you out, amen. I'm going to make some more mistakes, amen. I'm sure I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret. I'm sure I'm going to do something that I said, man, I shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that. So you're going to take 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 things in the life of a pastor who's trying to help people, and you're going to get easily offended because you don't love God and the Word of God, and you're going to try to hang your hat on that excuse for you're not going to church. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I don't believe it for one second. You can't preach 4 sermons every single week, 30 to 60 minutes at a clip, and not have something that you want to take back or regret. It's going to happen. But great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. I mean, it's very simple. You're just putting a blame game. You're just trying to accuse somebody for your failures. But that's what they're doing. They're walking around. It's still today, 20, 30, 40 years later, still blaming your husband. Maybe he is a Nabal. Maybe he is a rebel. Maybe he is disobeying God, but you're the one that married him. Blame yourself. Stop blaming your wife. Stop blaming your ex-wife. You're the one that married her. Blame yourself. Stop blaming your parents or your in-laws. They're the ones that gave birth to you and your spouse. They're the ones that let you live. You married into their family. Blame yourself for disobeying God and rebelling against God. Didn't your parents warn you not to sleep with anyone until you got married? So now you're blaming everyone else because you're the one that got syphilis. You're the one that got gonorrhea. You're the one that got AIDS. You're the one that got a venereal disease. But you want to blame everybody in society and your parents because you chose to sin against God. But now you're blaming everyone else because it makes you feel better. Huh? Yeah. Didn't someone tell you not to smoke cigarettes, smoke weed, smoke your pot, your marijuana, take your drugs, snort your cocaine, fill up your veins? If I were you, I'd blame yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Stop blaming everybody else. Stop blaming your children. You're the one that brought them into this world. Blame yourself. Stop blaming these evil politicians. We all know they're evil, most of them. But it's easy to blame them. Most of you allow them to cheat, lie, and steal from the taxpayers because you're the ones that keep putting them in power over and over again. That's the definition of insanity is what I've heard. You ought to blame yourself. I don't blame President Obama. I don't blame Jimmy Carter. I blame the people that voted for him. My Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah. The root of all evil. People sin because they love their sin and they love their money. That's why people do not go to an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist church. They blame others and make excuses. The reason people don't go to the church, this is me good right now, they love their sin and they love their money that they don't want to put in an offering basket to help get the gospel out and support missionaries. They're not going to come out and tell you that. All right, let's say I said something. Let's say I did something that offended or hurt somebody. Well, blessed be God. How come you're not going to church somewhere else? You're going to tell me within 50 to 100 miles you can't find a decent, halfway decent Baptist church that's preaching from the King James Bible? I refuse to believe it. They may not be like us. Sure, there's Marines and Army and Navy, Coast Guard, and Air Force, different branches, and some people may be more stronger or less strong than we are. Who cares? At least go to church and obey Hebrews 10:25. But they refuse to go. You know why? Because they love their money that they don't want to part with. They don't want to tithe. But here's what they do. Pastor Kalita said something. It hurt me 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Somebody, the deacon said something. The Sunday school teacher said something. You don't know what they did to me. The nursery worker wasn't friendly and kind to me. And they're using that as an excuse for disobeying Hebrews 10:25. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You know what God says? There's no excuse. No excuse. But people want to come up with an excuse. You know why? Because they love their money. They love sitting home pushing a button and having TV church because they are too stinking lazy to get out of their pajamas. They're too stinking lazy to get dressed. They're too stinking lazy to get their kids ready for church. So they're staying home so they don't have to send anybody any money. Oh, yeah, I used to go to church, but, you know, I was really hurt. The pastor's wife said something. She was really mean to me. The pastor was too sarcastic. And you make the whole list. Just make a whole litany of things. God says there's no excuse. If God commands you to do something in the Bible, there is no excuse for you disobeying it at all. Amen. So-and-so said something to me. Well, last question. Did you stop driving a car because you had one bad car? Did you stop buying a car because some car salesman lied to you in the past? Did you stop going out to a restaurant to eat because someone served you a bad meal one time? Did you stop shopping at Hannaford or Price Chopper because someone said or did something to you or you got something that was bad and spoiled? Did you stop sending your children to a government school even though they teach against God? Teach the sodomite wicked lifestyle? No. You send your children back to the government school because you love your money and you don't want to send them to a Christian school or teach them at home because love of money is the root of all evil. And those parents love their money and their laziness and their luxury, living in better neighborhoods and driving better cars while they send their little snot-nosed brats to a government school to be brainwashed. They love their rebellion, they love their laziness, and they love when they have no accountability. They don't have to give an account to anybody. That's why a lot of them, listen to me good, that's why a lot of them can't work for somebody. They don't want a boss telling them what to do. Yeah. They do not want to be held accountable. By the way, that's why we all need preaching against sin, every single one of us, man. We need hard preaching, all of us. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. Titus 2:11, there it is. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, either God's a liar or you're a liar. Amen. If my Bible says that the grace of God appeared to all men, then that means everybody can get saved. Amen. Even if they've never heard of the name Jesus, if they're praying and asking God, God, who are you? I promise you God will answer that prayer. Amen. Promise you. There's no reason, no excuse why, if you're saved, you've not been baptized after you got saved. There's no reason, there's no excuse why you miss church. Unless you're disabled, you're sick. I know, like we have some people that are sick and some people that are away traveling. I understand that. But if you got upset at the sermon last Sunday, there's no excuse for you not being here this Sunday. And if you're upset at this sermon, there's no excuse for you not being here next Sunday or somewhere else where they're preaching the Word of God from a King James Bible in a Baptist church. But you just make it and say, well, I was hurt. I can't get over that. They really hurt me bad. Well, that's because you don't love God and the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. It's just evident that you don't love God. But here's what you do. You put on fake book all over the place. Oh, I love Jesus, and I love God. As if that now pacifies your mind that there's no excuse now. Oh. You think you have an excuse for not going to church. because somebody said something, somebody did something. Well, I've had bad bosses before, haven't you? I didn't stop working because God says to work. But these lazy bums that want to get a job, they just say, oh, no, I used to go to work one time, and that boss said, I'm never going to do that again. That's because they're stinking lazy rebel. My Bible says in Luke 12, 48, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. There's no excuse for you not loving God. There's no excuse for you not loving people. There's no excuse for you not being kind and merciful and forgiving and patient and understanding. No excuse. Yeah, but they turned me off, Pastor. Hey, get right with God because there's no excuse. You ought to be forgiving and merciful just like Jesus is merciful and forgiving to you. So I can't deal with so. Yes, you can. You just don't want to deal with so-and-so. You're just too stubborn. If I were you, I'd get right with God. Amen. Hey, you know what? You can be forgiven of a cold heart just like somebody can be forgiven of drinking liquor and taking drugs, ladies and gentlemen. The same process. Just confess your sin to God and ask God to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. Just stop blaming somebody else for your faults and your failures and your choices in life. All you got to do is get right with God. Some church member hurt you. Some church member let you down. Oh, so-and-so sinned. Well, is there no forgiveness for pastors and assistant pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers? Is there no forgiveness and mercy for nursery workers and ushers and others who clean? Is there no mercy for others who try to do something and make mistakes and faults, have their faults? No, it's just an excuse to cover their own disobedience and rebellion against God, their treason to God and the house of God. It's just an excuse for them being unfaithful to God and others. They don't want to love people, so they make excuses. They don't want to be merciful, so they make excuses. They don't want to be forgiving, so they make excuses. They don't want to be kind or compassionate, so they make excuses. Those are the same kind of people that don't pray, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't obey the word of God on the outside, don't tell me that you're praying quietly, silently, in a prayer closet by yourself. I refuse to believe it. When you're disobeying the very word of God, when everybody else can see it, don't tell me you're obeying the prayer closet. I refuse to believe that. You're like the Pharisee to pray with himself. You're praying when you get in trouble. You're praying when you get caught. I've been in a courtroom for 40 years watching that stuff. They can shed a tear when they get caught standing before the judge, but they're not really sorry. They're just sorry they're going to go to prison or jail. Yeah. So you blame other people for you not preparing your heart. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 14, the Bible says that Rehoboam did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So you want to blame other people because you didn't prepare your heart. Your life's messed up. You don't have any goals. You didn't prepare for your marriage. You didn't prepare for family. You didn't prepare for your finances. You don't prepare for your health. You don't prepare for surviving. You don't prepare for your occupation. So you want to blame others because you never took the time to prepare ahead of time. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why they don't want to read the Bible. The Bible's too convicting. That's why they want to get rid of King James Bible, because they took the word sodomite out of there. I understand why, because they're wicked. They love their sin. My Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter number 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You getting closer to God, or are you getting further and further away from God? And who are you blaming for it? You blame someone else? I refuse to blame somebody else for my own sins and my own faults and my mistakes. I refuse to do it. Why don't you man up? Why don't you say, it's my fault. I confess. I did it wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I joined the wrong crowd. I was the wrong crowd. Hey, why don't you stand up and confess that sin? Because it takes a humbling experience to do that. You got to get rid of your pride and your ego to admit that you made a mistake. It's easy to blame somebody else for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years and make you feel good. Ain't going to wash at the judgment day, man, because everybody's going to know that you were a liar. Amen. You're going to stand before God Almighty, and everybody's going to witness it, that you were a liar blaming somebody else your entire life when God gave you the ability and the wherewithal to live for him. God gave you the word of God. God gave you the power of God. God gave you salvation. God gave you eternal life. And you know what you did? You flushed it down the toilet because you were blaming someone else for your mistakes.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 2:1 says they are inexcusable. Romans 2:15, excusing one another. We read in Luke 14, I pray thee, have me excused. I pray thee, have me excused. My Bible says that Zacharias and Elizabeth in Luke 1:6 were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:8 that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. My Bible says in Galatians 2:11, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. My Bible says in Ephesians 1:4 that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. My Bible says in Philippians 2:15 that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Colossians 1:22, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I want you to stand before God unblameable. Now, we're all sinners, ladies and gentlemen, saved by the grace of God. But at least stand up before God and being honest and say, Lord, it was my fault. I sinned. I messed up. It wasn't so-and-so. I shouldn't blame so-and-so. It was me. It's on me. The sooner you do that, the sooner you wake up, the sooner God will bless your life. 1 Thessalonians 2:10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. You think I messed up last week, last month, last year? You ask some of these people who have been here for 30 years, ladies and gentlemen. How can they stay around for 30 years and you get mad at one sermon? How can they stay around for 20 years and you get mad at something I said or I shouldn't have said? It's a lack of loving God. It's a lack of trying to blame someone else for you messing up. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. This kind of preaching is preparing you for the judgment seat of Christ, the most important day in your life after salvation. Most important day of salvation, the second most important day in your life is the day you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm trying to prepare you for that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:14, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. Stop blaming everybody else. Blame yourself. Get right with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Acts 19:18, many that believe came and confessed and showed their deeds. James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Psalm 51, let's take our Bible, turn to Psalm 51, please. David received the sure mercies of God Almighty, man. A sinner, saved by grace. The King of Israel. Psalm 51, starting in verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God.
If you read the little tidbit before that, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And by the way, David didn't blame Bathsheba, and he didn't blame Nathan the preacher when he said, thou art the man, David. He said, you're right. He didn't blame anybody else. He blamed himself. How can God bless a murderer, an adulterer? Well, maybe because he confessed he didn't blame anybody else. Maybe he got right with God and said, God, it was my fault, my sin that I committed. You want to blame somebody else for your downfall? You want to blame somebody else for causing you a ruined life? No, why don't you blame yourself? And then God will start blessing you. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Watch this. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He didn't pass the buck. He said, it's my fault. I did it wrong. Hey, you know what? You can change your life if you wanted to. You can get closer to God if you want to. Blessed be God. If I couldn't live near an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church and preach a King James Bible, I'd move. I would never go somewhere where there wasn't good hellfire and damnation preaching. You use that as an excuse, though. Oh, there's no church around here, Pastor. Then move. You move for a job. You move for the love of money. You move to get transferred, to get a better position. But you wouldn't move for God. Liar, liar, pants on fire, man. Then you're trying to tell me and use all kinds of excuses why you can't live for God. Well, we have no good church in this area, Pastor. Well, why don't you start one then? Why don't you get a couple families? Start one then. Why don't you move closer where there is a good Hellfire Damnation Baptist Church, where they're separated, using a King James Bible, going soul with it? Nah, they're just using excuses why they can't, why they won't. Is this microphone on this morning? Jesus said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? He said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. My Bible says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. My Bible says, every man shall bear his own burden. Paul writes, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. You can't change all the lies and all the blame game that you were committing for the last 5, 10, 20 years, but you can change your life starting right now. And stop blaming someone else and confess your sin to God Almighty. You have to confess to anybody unless you sin against them individually. Why don't you get right with God this morning? And then get on that road to get right with God and change your course. Unless you love your money, you love your sin, you're not going to. And you're going to make any kind of excuse why you can't or why you won't. You can, but why you won't. My Bible says in Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I know, you want to pick up where Eve blamed the serpent and Adam blamed the woman. Just blame, pass the buck, pass the blame. They made me do it, Pastor. No, you chose the wrong crowd, or you chose to be the wrong crowd. David didn't blame Nathan, the preacher, when he confronted him face to face. He didn't blame Bathsheba because she was naked bathing on top of a roof. No, he blamed himself. And God will bless you if you blame yourself. Are you playing the blame game today? My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, knowledge puffeth up.
But Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Sir, you're in the catch 22. The less you read the Bible, the more you'll be destroyed. And the more you read the Bible, the more knowledge you gain, the more your ego and your pride is going to be puffed up. Knowledge puffeth up. Why don't you just admit before a holy God that you've been wrong in blaming someone else for you choosing to sin against God? I mean, it'll be easy for you to just keep blaming somebody else. Next 5, 10, 20 years, just pass it off. And just, it'll make you feel better. You can join a self-help group where everybody blames everybody else. And that's what they're doing in America. Everybody's blaming everybody else because they're rebelling against God. They hate God, so they're blaming men. They're blaming women. They're blaming children. They're blaming parents. They're blaming Democrats. They're blaming Republicans. Everybody wants to blame everybody. Why don't you blame yourself? Amen. You're not going to be able to blame me at the judgment seat for not warning you. Amen. You're never going to be able to stand. You can do it now. But at the judgment seat of Christ, you're never going to be able to stand up. John Kalidas never told me. I've decided to preach the entire whole counsel of God. Amen. I know sometimes it's not popular. I know it thins a crowd. I know that. Blessed be God, I'm going to stand before God Almighty at the judgment seat, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't want to have any excuse there. Amen. When God asks me, how come you didn't do this? When it's very clearly commanded in the Word of God, I told you to do it. How come you did that when I told you not to do it? It's easy to get by now because we're living on this earth in this flesh. We're playing games, mind games with people, you know. You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It ain't going to fly the judgment seat. My whole life is geared right now around the judgment seat of Christ. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love my church. But I love Jesus more than anyone and anything else, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to prepare myself, and I want you to prepare yourself for the judgment seat of Almighty God. That if you're saved, a child of God, you're going to stand there and give an account of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done. Everything. And you're not going to pass the buck then. And everybody's going to know that you were lying when you're trying to blame everybody else for your sins and your faults and your mistakes and your errors. Hey, this morning, I'm not saying you don't have a tough time. I'm not saying you haven't lived a rough life. I'm not saying things haven't happened to you that have not been good. I know, I understand that. Just stop blaming someone else. Everybody in this room is an adult. Get right with God, confess your sin to God, and move on and live with a clear, clean conscience before God Almighty. And I promise you, as we said in the adult Bible study, God will turn the curse into a blessing because only God Almighty can do that. Stop blaming others. Take responsibility. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being a wonderful God. I want to thank you for the day that we trusted you to be our Savior. We realized that we were lost on our way to hell without any hope. We were doomed for an eternity in the lake of fire. And we acknowledge thy word. We confess that we were sinners deserving hell. And we realize that you came in the place of man to die in our place to save us from hell if we would just fall on your mercy and plead for your mercy. Well, the exact same way we got saved is the exact same way we can get rid of the blame game that we're blaming others for ruining our lives. Oh, dear God, help us to mature and grow up. There's many other things that were left unsaid this morning, but the truth of the matter is, dear Holy Spirit of God, that every single person who's saved, they realize under conviction that they've been blaming other people for their own mistakes, their own sins, and their own errors. We've all gone through that period of time. We've all gone through that episode in our lives where it's easier to blame others than to take ownership of our own sins. And it hurts. It's convicting. It's humbling. But it's needful. My prayer is this morning, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, I pray this morning that they will stop making an excuse and get saved this morning. I pray if there's anybody in this room that does not believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, I pray they stop making an excuse and believe thy word. Somebody who's not been baptized after salvation, I pray they'll stop making an excuse and get baptized this morning. Somebody's blaming somebody else for whatever else has ever happened in their life. I pray they'll get it right this morning, dear God. Whatever the need is, dear God, please meet with us. Bless these dear folks. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.